great.
Thank you very much. This is really cool. I have never done a podcast before. This is my first podcast.
Oh, well, great. Well, glad. Wonderful. Glad that we could be the first one here. I try to keep under an hour, and I thought we were going. We probably hit that. I was just kind of curious, Rakesh. I mean, how you got in there, and how I mean, you're a network engineer. Kind of how you got into. Is there a short one? We're not recording, or I guess we still are recording, but it's not part of the podcast. Kind of how you got into this, and you know, are you now going to go into PR?
Well, so it's really interesting. So my background is twofold. One is that I am a network and an information security engineer by training. For my technical background is in security, so firewalls and cryptography and routers and switches and all that sort of thing. But starting when I was in high school, I started volunteering with the American Red Cross doing disaster relief. And so throughout college and into my career at Cisco, I was, you know, like in when I was at Cisco, I was taking vacation time to go off and do disaster relief missions. And then back in 2008, and they said, well, hey, Rakesh, we know that you already do this stuff. Do you want to get paid to do it? And I'm like, okay, sure. So what happened was I happened to be at a happy convergence where my personal passions and my technology skills kind of intersected.
Oh, that's freaking wonderful.
And that's kind of where – so I'm really lucky in that I get to come in the morning, and usually I don't think that I'm actually at work. I still have that feeling even after being at Cisco for 17 years. So I consider myself super lucky to have that mindset. The social media thing kind of grew by necessity in that we started seeing people talking about these Cisco black trucks that were showing up to disasters, and Cisco wasn't really talking about what they were doing.
That's so pretty funny.
And so you can see where the where that can really start going into the negative, right? You know,
yes.
Mysterious black vehicles show up that have Cisco in tiny letters, and what's it doing there, and who's it for, and you know, black helicopters, and I mean, you start getting into the paranoia sense, right? And you know, obviously, we really had to step up how we engaged in the world, right? So that was kind of the driven by necessity thing.
Wow.
Right, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Side note question. How the hell have you not been cut? Like, so I guess you already answered that. The way I'm just thinking with how tight budgets are in so many organizations, like this sounds so like at the surface superfluous. No offense at all, because you've already described why it is. Why it isn't.
Absolutely none taken. So absolutely none taken. There are days where we actually ask ourselves that same question.
Yeah. But then you talk about how you can consult with government agencies that could be multi-billion dollar deals over years. So that makes sense that when you start becoming like a bonus for the consulting agency, that's incredible.
And so what's really interesting is this, is that so the way that I think about it is that we are sort of the extreme end of tech support, right? That's one way to look at it. So from a network engineering standpoint, we're the sort of high-touch tech support for a crisis situation. When something like a Haiti happens, it's not necessarily appropriate for what we call big Cisco to go in there, right? So the typical account managers and sales engineers and, the sort of the day-to-day Cisco support and customer engagement mechanisms are not appropriate for 12 hours after the Haiti earthquake just happened, right? When active rescues are still underway, things along those lines. So what we say is that our team is there for what we call the acute phase of the emergency for the crisis. As soon as we pass that acute phase and we start getting into the recovery phase, the other mechanisms of Cisco, whether they are our partners, whether they are our TAC, whether they are our sales engineers, they actually have a lot more resources to bring to a problem than we do. Mm. You know?
Yep, so, of course.
So what we try to do is we try to get in there in the immediate aftermath of something when the situation is still a little fluid, is still a little chaotic, because, you know, we actually have training and equipment for going into that kind of an environment when the rest of Cisco doesn't necessarily have that.
Gotcha.
And we actually have the process for it too, right? So it's people, process, and technology. And you need to have all three elements. Otherwise, you may be going in there and creating more of a problem.